Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find the TV programs are there and a host of other Bible-related material that can help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. We also want to invite you to our period of Bible study and worship service at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given those times. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come, worship God with us, and let us show you the need for God in your life and in relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. A few months ago, we began a serious study of the subject of sin. We've looked at various aspects of sin, how sin operates, the nature of sin, temptation, and other aspects. Today, we're going to begin a discussion in the doctrine of sin on the subject of the sin of division. It was early in the morning on August 13, 1961, in Berlin, Germany. Those starting their normal routes to work were stopped by barbed wire. Communists had hurriedly erected the fence during the night. People's lives were changed drastically in a matter of hours. Later, 26 miles of solid concrete replaced the barbed wire. This divided two people who had once lived together. This is called division. The Bible discusses another wall in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished it in his flesh, the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Ephesians 2, 14 through 16. It divided the Jews and the Gentiles. It was removed by God by the death of his Son on the cross. And now two people who were once divided are now one, and they are one in Christ. It permitting all to be part of one body, thus this made for peace. One of the duties within that body is to keep the unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12. Verse 3. God does not desire men building walls between his people. One of the things which God hates that we learn from Proverbs 6:19 is those who sow discord among brethren. Paul pleaded with the church of Corinth not to be divided in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You see, that there would be no division. And then we read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Division is a work of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. It is one of the works of the flesh that is listed as being something that is sinful, division. And so we must work very hard to make sure that we're not part of a division. Paul commanded that those who would seek to division need to be marked and need to be exposed so others can be warned. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, Paul wanted Christians to be warned that men who sought division among God's people were not really God's people or friends, they were his enemies. And so he commanded that such men or women who sought to divide God's people would be exposed. We need to understand that division has always been a blight on the people of God. In the early account of Genesis, we see Abraham taking steps to stop any strife between him and Lot. In Genesis chapter 13, the land could not contain both of them. They were very prosperous, and there began to be division, and there began to be discouragement and words between the herdsmen of Abraham and those of Lot. And so he sought a peaceful solution. And what he determined to do was tell Lot that he could make a decision which way he would go, to the right or to the left, and whatever way he went, Abraham would go the opposite. And then they would just go in opposite directions and take their herds and their flocks, and there would be no more strife, and there would be no division. We see that very clearly in Genesis chapter 13. We need to fully understand that division is a sin. It is not something that just is undesirable or ill-advised. It is sin. Every step needs to be taken to help avoid the body of Christ, the Lord's church, from being divided. We need to do everything that's humanly possible with the spirit of love and the spirit of unity to make sure that we are never guilty of the sin of dividing the people of God. God will hold those accountable who are divide his children and divide the Lord's church. And so since this is a very dreadful sin and a very grievous sin, we want to understand better how we can avoid the sin of division. Let us begin to notice the basis of unity. From the beginning, the church has been made up of people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different education backgrounds, and with different upbringing. Yet, all these different influences and all these different persons are to function in a unified way in order that the work of the local church can be accomplished and that there would be no division. The Jews had sects even during the time of Christ. We had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Zealots, and the Herodians. When the Gentiles obeyed the gospel, the potential for conflict even increased more. Today, the church includes people from different places with different upbringings, different cultures, educational background, business experience, and experiences of life in general. Some have religious background, others do not. Some have been Christians a few days, some a few years, others many years. Some have little Bible knowledge, others have much more. Personalities vary from wonderful to obnoxious. Is there a potential for division? You know there is. How well we work and worship together in the harmony of peace has to do with how we handle these differences and how we handle these difficulties that arise from time to time. There are two crucial elements that we must address in discussing how to keep unity. You see, unity is the answer to prevent division. When we are unified, when we are united in our work and in our thought and in our teaching, then there will be peace. But if there is no unity, then there is going to be division. It is inevitable. And so there are two crucial elements of unity that we want to examine very carefully. One is our attitudes, and the other is doctrine. Attitudes are crucial to the attainment and maintenance of unity. Facts upon which unity is based are preceded by necessary attitudes. I'd ask you to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read the first six verses. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now, in these six verses, there is the basis of unity, and it is divided in two ways. We will first look at the attitudes, and then we will look at the doctrine and the basis that will allow us to have this type of unity. It speaks about lowliness of mind. Lowliness or humility is a negative quality according to some people's way of thinking. To the Christian, it keeps things in proper perspective. When we compare ourselves to the perfection of Christ, and that's who we need to compare ourselves to, we need help, and we need His mercy. Understanding our weaknesses, we may be slow to judge others harshly. In Matthew chapter 7, we are warned about making improper judging. In Matthew 7, verse 1 through 5, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at your speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will be clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We need to understand and we need to focus on ourselves. Little time to pick each other apart. Ladies and gentlemen, it is easy to pick people apart. It's easy to find fault with others if you're looking for it and if you're trying to hone in on it. To have loneliness of mind is to understand that others are more important than self. To re-emphasize that, I ask you to take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 2 and listen to the instruction of the Apostle Paul. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. You see, we need to focus on others, not focus on self. Loneliness and humility is a great way to prevent division, and it is a wonderful attribute in order to maintain unity and peace. We need to look for ways to unite, not for ways to divide. We need to look for each other's interest and put ourselves under that list. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you tune in again next Sunday morning as we'll continue looking at the subject of the sin of division. Please come and worship God with us today. Have a blessed